From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 17th day of September 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And Eric Snodgrass will join us to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. If you can stay with us for the whole of the hour, you'll hear our Commodity Week program, including our panelists this week, Mike Zuzlo, along with Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing and J.R. Edmondson of Farm Futures. He's at the Minneapolis Grain Exchange in Minneapolis, Minnesota. If not, you can always hear it online right now at WILLAG.org or on many of these radio stations over the weekend.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And Chicago corn futures finished the nearby at 527 and a quarter. The December contract down 2 1/4 today. March at 534 and a quarter, 2 1/2 lower. And the May at 538 and a quarter, down 2 3/4 of a cent on the afternoon. November beans at $12.84, 12 lower. January 1293, down 11 3/4. And the March at 1297 and a quarter, 11 and a half cents lower. The bean meal futures at 338.50, down $1.70. And the bean oil, 56.29, 54 cents lower. Wheat futures, soft red at 7.08 3/4, down 4 1/4 for the afternoon. And the hard red contract in the December at $7.13, 7 1/2 cents lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the lead option at 127.52 and a half, a dollar and a nickel lower for the December. Feeders in the November at 156.10, down $1.20. And lean hogs at $75 and a nickel, 60 cents higher for the afternoon. Crude oil futures, $71.75, down 62 cents a barrel. Diesel fuel, about 0.3 cents lower, $2.20 and 0.5 cents. And the wholesale price of gasoline today at $2.11 and a half, a penny and a tenth lower for the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 34,435 is down 191 points, and the U.S. dollar at 93.195 is up 0.276. for the afternoon. Mike Zuzlo, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas, now joins us to take up what happened in the marketplace for the day. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being here. And thanks for being with us on Commodity Week yesterday. We'll hear that program a bit later during the hour.
Yeah, really nice program again. Hopefully the producers get a lot out of it, and the ranchers and hog producers do as well.
Yeah, indeed. They can find that at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. Let's take up some things that we intentionally left off Commodity Week yesterday, simply because there was a lot to cover, and I wanted to talk to you today about the grain stocks report that's due out at the end of the month. This is the last one for the marketing year, and essentially you can take the number here for ending stocks and roll it in to the beginning stocks for the October WASDE. What do you think it will show, and are there things that you're concerned about?
You know, I'm not as concerned as prior years because I think USDA has done a really good job of keeping tabs of export inspections, those getting out the door versus what the sales forecast was. And we have seen a lot of changes in beginning stocks for corn and beans relative to what we're used to in the prior 2 or 3 months, Todd. So I think we've got a pretty good handle on where we stand. I think the big elephant in the room still is what's happening at the Gulf. We're not really seeing much in terms of improvement in basis on a consistent level, either at the Gulf or upriver at some of these key terminals and key river stations, that we need to see that get back to some semblance of normalcy as we get ready to really dig into heavy harvest. And I spent a lot of time on the phone on Friday talking to clients about their harvest progress and where they're at, because we were pretty far advanced on Monday's harvest as a country versus the 5-year average. But from what I can tell, the states, especially that think they're going to have good yields, are still just now starting to dig into harvest, and it won't be really full tilt until we get into next week and the week after that. So we've got a window to straighten things up, get the Gulf up and running full tilt and 100% before we really get after it on the corn and bean harvest. It seems like the corn harvest is maybe a little bit more sluggish in Indiana from what I'm hearing, and in Ohio as well. And that's probably good because you're getting less bushels that are having to move to straight into the elevator.
Are farmers in the western part of the Corn Belt happier than expected with their corn yields, or they just thought this is where they'd land.
You know, I think they are when it comes to how it looked at the beginning of August, because they, you know, as we know, we had, you know, 70-80% of some of these Western Corn Belt states in severe drought, and then we really got a much needed rain. Didn't help crop conditions much, but it sure helped the drought monitor maps quite a bit. From what I've heard so far, and this is Nebraska and Iowa and some South Dakota and some Minnesotas, I think Minnesota really got a good dose of rain that helped them. Northern Iowa did as well. I think they're pleasantly surprised with their yields. But as you go south and west, I think it's more, it could have been better. And I was looking for it to be better, you know, back in May and June when it looks so great. And it's not going to be a record like I'd hoped.
Turn your attention back to the export market. Ida, the hurricane, hit at the end of the month of August, and the grain stocks report is as of September 1st. So I know there was some interruption there, but not very much. However, since then, the devastation that Ida wrecked across a good portion of the export facilities, especially with electricity, some places still not coming online for some of those facilities, has created issues. We talked a little bit about that up and down the Mississippi River. I'm wondering whether the changes in the Chinese loadouts from New Orleans to Brazil is enough to impact the current marketing year, meaning the year that's being harvested now.
I think it is. I think two reasons. On the weekly export sales data on Thursday morning, the actual physical shipments that we got out were about 17 million bushels of corn and beans combined. I went back and looked at the same time last year for the exact same week, and it was about 2.6 million metric tons. So our shipments were corn and beans down about 83%. Secondly, I noted this week that South Korea's NOFI came in and bought 201,000 tons of corn and 65,000 tons of feed wheat. We usually get all of the corn business from them, but it looks as though South America and South Africa, or one or both, are going to get the corn business on this purchase, this private purchase that they made. And then lastly, and it may be the most troublesome from a standpoint of getting our export market back, is the fact that we saw the barge rates from Memphis to Cairo run to 750% of tariff. That was up 100% just 2 days earlier. And, you know, that's probably 200 or 300% more than what we're used to for this time of year when you look at the 2, 3, 5 year averages. So it's not just about the Gulf and its problems. It's that this whole supply chain and the costliness of this problem with this electricity in Ida. And even Charlie came into Texas and cut power there. I'd talked to a client up by Pontiac, Cabery area, and he had told me today that, or yesterday, that there was a big train being loaded out and they were spot bidding up on the corn, almost like an ethanol plant would be, just to get the train running down to Galveston or Houston area. So it's just going to be messy, and I think it's going to make us less competitive. And this is when the Baltic freight rate just hit a 12-year high today. So it's a tough situation we're in right now. We really got to get it cleaned up.
You know, the Delta, the grains, oil seeds in the Delta, still, they don't have a place to go other than out, usually to New Orleans, possibly to the southeast, but mostly out to New Orleans. Those are now bottled up. They have to get cleared through, probably part of the reason that barge freight from New Orleans, from Memphis northward has really popped, because there simply aren't barges, I would think, available.
Exactly right. And they're still trying to dig out barges and open the lanes up completely, from my understanding as well. So, I mean, when we hear end of September, it really is troublesome. And this is where the stocks report may be as of September 1, and maybe it doesn't catch everything. But I think, and I'm hoping that USDA, because they've been on top of it so well this year, and in these weekly transportation reports have been very, very good as well. I think maybe we'll get a little bit more insight than normal.
Indeed. One final thing. You talked yesterday on Commodity Week. We'll hear that in a bit, about hogs in China. There's just an issue of ramping up and with a lot of supply, and then it's become a finance issue, apparently, for some of the hog industry.
Yeah, and these are not the small producers. You know, China's gone kind of a Western route of trying to get their phytosanitary conditions in order and their markets in order by trying to limit the smaller producers and ramp up the state-owned enterprises or those supported by the SOEs. But CNBC had a really good article, and this is what I'm referencing when we talk on Commodity Week, that their top five hog producers by size increased their total debt by anywhere from 149 to 424% in the last 2 years to be able to fuel expansion. And look at the prices that they are being, quote, rewarded for at this point at the retail level or at the production level. So even the large producers are stung right now. And it really makes me wonder whether we're really going to see that kind of demand that USDA and others are forecasting for 22 fiscal year for China in the soy complex.
Hey, you have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's at globalcomresearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Let's take a look at the weather forecast now. Eric Snodgrass joins us from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. Hi, Eric. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful day.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Tell me a little bit about what you think's on tap for the whole of the harvest season.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be starting in earnest here very soon. And the first thing that's going to be kind of getting in the way is we got a pretty big system that's going to try to come through here like Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And that system is going to drop a lot of very, very warm air over the weekend into our area. And it's going to be quickly replaced with some cooler air on the backside of it. Now, I do not see and don't have any concern about an early frost at this point. And just a reminder, our first frost dates are in mid-October. So we still have quite a bit of time to go before we worry about that. And I don't feel that this is going to be a year where people are going to be too concerned about frost. But by the way, speaking of frost, I got several messages this morning about frost that was in parts of Montana, Washington, and the far western side of the Dakotas as well. But as we just kind of look forward and see how things are shaking down, I think a lot of Illinois farmers, a lot of Midwest farmers will be pretty happy with the latest updates from the European model, which say after this system rolls through next week, we tend to go over to a drier and still a warmer pattern. So that helps things dry down in the field. The higher temperatures also help the drying down, and we just continue to buy more time at the end of this season. And the long-range models want to take that and just keep going with it. So we see that the new updates from, you know, September to mid-October look quite favorable. In other words, we don't have the dreaded, you know, stationary front that can sometimes get stuck right here, you know, through the state of, you know, Michigan to Illinois, all the way down to Texas. And that front can sometimes just produce tremendous amounts of rain. I don't see it. And all the stuff coming out of the tropics, even though Nicholas is still sitting spinning down there in parts of Louisiana, at least the remnants of it, I don't see anything major coming out of the tropics here in the next 10 to 15 days either. So a lot of what I just said is kind of a really good news forecast for a lot of folks. But remember, we got a system midweek next week to deal with before all that kind of comes through.
Have you thought about early winter?
You know, I have. I always do, right? In fact, I always get asked, you know, what's Christmas going to be like? I'm like, oh my goodness, it's September. We're not ready for that yet. But, you know, we still watch this La Nina that's developing. And right now, the development's been pretty good. It's moving along. The temperature's getting cooler in the Pacific. But I compared it to a year ago where we currently are with our La Nina compared to last year. And this one is not going to be as strong. And what that does is it kind of removes it as a more dominant predictor for our longer term weather. But we did just have yesterday the brand new Climate Prediction Center outlook for winter. It keeps most of the warmer than normal temperatures farther to the south. We expect near normal temperatures here in Illinois, which, by the way, how we get near normal temperatures in Illinois in winter is wild swings from warm to cold, right? I mean, we're all used to that here. But it also keeps us on the wetter side of average throughout winter. And all of that is very good news for an Illinois farmer should it come true, because it replenishes soil moisture. We do get good hard freezes. And those kind of things tend to set us up for a good year next year. And to finish up, that La Nina, okay, we do expect that La Nina to transition out to neutral conditions, maybe even go over toward weak El Nino during the growing season of 2022. So that's what I'm thinking about for North America.
How about for South America?
Yeah, South America, there's some delay. the next 10 to 15 days is drier in Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul. And that would be the central, you know, growing regions that usually get into the fields first. But are we going to see a delay like we saw last year, which was the driest on record for their spring? And the answer to that is no. I do see that by the time we get to mid-October, more normal monsoonal rainfall should be there. What we would be worried about is if by the time we get to mid-October, if they're way behind in planting. And there's not strong signals to say that that's going to be the case this year. But there is a near-term delay. And if we go a little south of there into Argentina, we know that the wheat crop endured some pretty dry time period back, you know, just a month or two ago. And then it got a lot of rain as of late. And it's also been extremely wet in southern Brazil. So we wouldn't call this the best start for South America, but it is by no means the worst start.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible and helped us to wrap up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.